after my, really, it was more of a confessional situation yesterday where I talked about my personal struggle as a talk show host and my dislike for our president. Now, I got my slew of "I'm never listening again" emails. "You went too far" emails. Emails that said, "He didn't commit a crime because he's the president and can declassify whatever he wants." And frankly, people, when did Trump supporters become snowflakes? How many of you angry Trump supporters, because I dared to speak that I find a problem with the president of the United States getting into a Twitter battle with Rosie O'Donnell? I have a problem with that. And I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel like I'm somehow submarining the guy's agenda because I want him to shut down his stupid back and forth with a washed up comedian that no one pays attention to until he tweets about her. I don't think that's outside. I don't think that's beyond the pale. What I love are the ones, "You were so emotional yesterday." You know what that is? That's called sexism. Because if I were a man talking about my distaste for our president of the United States of America getting into a Twitter back and forth with Rosie O'Donnell, you would have never said, "Oh, you're so emotional." I just want you to roll that around in your little heads for a second. Doesn't bother me, by the way. I'm so used to it at this point, it really doesn't affect me. But I really am, and honest to God, I'm wondering when Trump supporters became the people they've been making fun of for years. How many of you have shared on your Facebook page a meme about the snowflakes on the left who were all upset? And then when I point out the series of blunders that have been created by the man himself, not the media, the media has picked them all up, blown them up into massive proportion. But Trump keeps giving the media ammunition with which to shoot him. And if he would shut his pie hole sometimes and not shoot from the hip, they would not have the ammunition that they currently have. So if you're not listening today, and by the way, I would say 75 to 80% of the people that tell me they're never listening again are listening the next day. I've been doing this a very long time. So if you think a flood of "I'm never listening again" emails is going to make me go, "Oh my God, I'm going to lose my job." Not going to happen. Been down that road many, many, many times. But this is the part that really confuses me. And I think in my defense, I realized this last night as I was thumbing through these emails that were coming in and just getting more. I hurt myself rolling my eyes last night reading these emails. I really, truly did. I hurt myself because ultimately, when I look at things, I have never, ever, ever been a naked partisan. Meaning, I've never been one to ride for the Republican brand, although I definitely lean in the Republican column. But I got to tell you guys something. Blind allegiance to a politician is bad. It is very, very bad. And for all of you Trump voters out there who think that blind allegiance to Trump is any better than the blind allegiance that I saw to Mitch McConnell in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, you are deluding yourselves. When I talk about things that bother me about Donald Trump, it's not because I'm worried about the future of the Republican Party or worried about the future of the Democratic Party. I'm worried about the future of the country. I'm worried about America. And when I look at these things, I think to myself, if this were a Democrat that I disagreed with on policy issues doing the exact same things, what would I say? And dare I ask those butthurt Trump supporters who were all never going to listen again, were you in favor of an investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails? Because I was. Time, it's 1:40, and it's time to bring on Congressman Ken Buck from the Congressional 4th District right here in Colorado. Hello, Congressman. You know you always come on when I'm mad.
Oh, that's not good.
It's the same as it's always. No, it's always been the same. It's always been the same. How are you?
I'm great. Well, actually, I'm not great. I'm in D.C. I was in Colorado. I'd be better.
Yeah, exactly. As my friend Thomas Massey says, everybody in D.C. thinks it's a hot tub when in reality it's just a swamp.
And we need to drain the swamp. Good point.
Yeah, let's talk about what's going on right now. It seems like in the last 10 days, it has been honestly like one outrage from the media after another. And, you know, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm getting tired of it. I got to tell you, we have so many good, stories that are being suppressed by all of these leaks and anonymous sources. It's frustrating. Mandy, the consumer confidence index is great right now.
Right.
People are out buying things. They are adding jobs to their businesses. Unemployment is low. When I drove from Greeley to the airport, I saw 5 help wanted signs along Highway 85. I haven't seen that in years.
Yeah.
Our economy is doing exactly what we hoped it would do.
So why is it that it seems like the president keeps handing out free ammunition to the media?
Well, I think this media, I was talking to a friend on the floor earlier today. When George Bush won, he was the dumbest human being alive. Even though he'd gone to great schools and gotten great degrees, every time he stumbled in a speech, it was a story for 2 or 3 days. And he just wasn't smart enough to be president. And then we get Barack Obama, and he's the smartest person in the world, and he's just a savior. And then we get Donald Trump, and they've got to find something with Donald Trump, and he's a very successful businessman, so obviously he's not stupid. So now we're going to be inventing this Russia story, and just on and on. And it's just unfortunate that the media, is it Donald Trump supplying bullets, or is it the media inventing stories?
You know what? I think that... For me, Ken, and this is the conversation that I've had with my audience over the last 2 days, many of whom are very mad at me and are never listening again. So I hope there's any listeners right now for our interview. No, my issue is that, you know what? We have a situation where James Comey is fired. They send out spokespeople to give one message, and then Donald Trump does an interview and submarines his own people, creating the story. Now, if he had come out and towed the company line and continued that line of dialogue, eventually it would have petered out. But he doesn't. He sends out H.R. McMaster's to talk about this meeting with Russia. And then he tweets 2 lines that kind of submarine what McMaster said. This is my frustration with him. It's like, let your people go out and do their job. You know, let them go out and create the narrative, support your people, and this all becomes a lot less vitriolic and a lot less volatile, to tell you the truth. I mean, that's my opinion.
So I think America elected Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton because they wanted to see less regulation. They wanted to see lower taxes. They wanted to see more employment. And I think all of the things that were being said about Donald Trump for a year and a half were secondary. And again, we're dealing with issues that are secondary, unless there's evidence to show that he obstructed justice, unless there's evidence to show that what he said to a Russian foreign minister resulted in the deaths of important intelligence sources. But given where the story is right now, I think that Americans are tired of D.C. feeling so self-important that we can change the narrative all the time on really good things that are happening in this country.
Well, ultimately, you're right. The economy is a great story. I'd love to hear you come on today and tell me that we have tax reform ready to go. Where is that?
Well, it is next week. You will see the Ways and Means Committee hold hearings on tax reform. And as the Senate finishes the health care bill, you're going to see the House pass a tax reform measure, whether it's in July or whether it's right after the August break. We will be passing tax reform, and I think working more closely with the Senate so that it moves more quickly in the Senate.
Well, and one of the things that, yesterday the news was full of Congressman Jason Chaffetz saying he'd unilaterally subpoena these Comey memos that the New York Times is reporting on. You have Paul Ryan weighing in and saying, you know what, we need to get to the bottom of this and put it to bed and not to indict the president, but we need to figure this stuff out. So the oxygen has been sucked out of the room to talk about all those accomplishments. And that's been very frustrating for me because there are some things that have happened in the first 100 or so days of this administration that I think are real positives, really strong positives. I mean, I just read that the Fed is projecting 4% growth in the next quarter. That's significant.
Right.
But you're right that we get bogged down in all this stupid minutia. But I don't think that without President Trump's help, the media has enough to continue this nonsense. I want you to talk to him, Ken. I want you to go into the White House and say, look, my friend Mandy Connell said, zip it on Twitter and support your people. She'd really like, if you would just zip it, if you never mention Rosie O'Donnell again, she would be so happy. you know, just so happy. Just do his job and support his people, and I would be absolutely thrilled with the Trump presidency thus far.
You know, Mandy, this president is a package, and there are some things that we're really going to appreciate about the package, and there are some things that we are not. And you and I like a very disciplined president. We like someone who stays on message. We like someone who makes life a little bit easier. That's not part of this package. And I have to tell you, I think this president, when he is judged 20 years from now, if our economy is growing at a 4% rate and we are reducing our deficit as a result of revenues increasing to the government, these kinds of stories will be insignificant in contrast to what he's accomplished.
I agree wholeheartedly. When you look back at the Reagan administration, there were lots of flare-ups during the Reagan administration. Various things happened. You had Iran-Contragate. But ultimately, when people look back at Reagan, they look back at a booming economy. They look back at mourning in America. They look back at the positives. But there was definitely not the viciousness and the drumbeat that the media have right now. And frankly, Ken, I am becoming increasingly concerned that you are going to see it get harder and harder to even have the conversations about tax reform that are so important, or reminding people that they just got a better job because the economy is booming and they're making more money because they're so caught up in the maelstrom of nonsense that is coming out of D.C. right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, but I have to tell you, I came to Washington, D.C. to work for Dick Cheney on the Iran-Contra investigation. This town was torn apart, and President Reagan was in office. And now we sort of put that in context, and I think history is going to judge this president the same way. You know, can you say Neil Gorsuch? Can you say executive orders? Can you say trade agreement with China? Really important things that this president has done very early in his presidency.
Well, with all due respect to the intent of those executive orders are not worth the paper they're written on as soon as you walk out of office. When are we going to see some legislative action to ensconce some of this legislative order stuff into law so it stays beyond the Trump presidency?
Great point. We have passed 13 congressional review acts that have rescinded Obama regulations that have made life easier on businesses that passed the Senate that were signed by the president. So, you know, a great point. Those executive orders had to do with examining regulations passed by the House, passed by the Senate, signed by the president. Again, an accomplishment that goes unnoticed because of what the mainstream media continues to talk about and just feed this distraction.
What are you guys already working on a budget for September? Because I was very unhappy that we had all these Obama holdover programs in the continuing resolution. I was unhappy that we have a continuing resolution. I mean, I'm straight up. Are you guys already putting pen to paper and working on that stuff? Are we going to get to August 30th and be told the government's going to shut down if we don't have another CR?
You'll get to September 30th and hear that, not August 30th.
Ah, perfect. Yes. Great. Thanks. You're supposed to make me feel better, Ken.
Sorry, Mandy. I'll buy you dinner next time I'm there. Here's the problem. We had to use budget reconciliation to fix health care because no Democrats in the Senate would support it. Mm-hmm. And now we've got to use budget reconciliation to fix, to do tax reform. And you can't do one budget until the other budget's complete. So the Senate has to finish the health care issue before we can start on tax reform and use budget reconciliation for it. So we will undoubtedly have a CR at the end of September, only because we hopefully will be solving the problem of health care and tax reform.
Are you getting any information from the Senate about how their Senate bill is going to look different than the bill that you guys passed, or where there could be some stumbling blocks that could create a little bit of problems? Have you heard anything about what they're working on?
I know that there are 13 senators that are working together right now to amend the House bill. Some of them are conservative, and they're trying to put in some conservative ideas. One or two of them are trying to put in more money for different programs. I don't know what it's going to look like. Ultimately, they've got to get to 51 votes, and that's going to be the challenge with what those 13 are working on.
Well, you know, I don't envy you your job right now, Ken. I'll be perfectly honest. I just think that things are just at a fever pitch And it becomes very difficult to have a rational conversation about anything. One last question, and then I'll let you get back to your work there.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
Did you ever envy my job?
I would have liked to have gone to the inauguration as a Congress member. But
okay.
Yeah, because I mean, I could have gone as a person, but as a member of Congress, that seems like you probably get some nice perks, you know, like during the inauguration, you get good seats kind of thing.
Yeah. It was raining, but were outdoors, but it was still good.
See, exactly. I envied you that day. There you go.
Okay.
See,
okay.
One last question. There are a lot of calls to subpoena this Comey memo. Are you in favor of that subpoena? Do you want this sort of, my thinking is, but not to put words in your mouth, let's just get it over with. Let's rip off the Band-Aid, find out what's there and what's not there, and just call it a day. We've got three different investigations going on. Surely somebody could say, okay, here's what happened, and we can just move on from this stuff.
The one of the top three most critical functions of Congress is oversight on the executive branch. I am absolutely in favor of getting to the truth on every one of these issues, and I am also in favor, as we have done today, in talking about the really important things that people want to talk about, and that is getting a better paying job and more security for the family. So let's find out what happened. Let's get to the truth, and let's fix this economy.
Amen to that. Congressman Ken Buck, a joy as always, my friend. And you know what? I got to give you credit because honestly, you guys don't know. Even from before you got elected, it was like we always had a scheduled interview and then some craziness happened the day before. And I'm always mad when Ken comes on my show and he handles it like a boss. So well done. I can tell you've been married a long time.
That's kind.
Thank you, Congressman. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Yeah, every single time I have an interview scheduled with him, something has happened that makes me super incredibly cranky about something. Let's just not talk about the Comey memo anymore until we know what's in the Comey memo. Greg Jarrett has a great column that I linked to on the blog today, asking some important questions about if this was obstruction of justice, why James Comey didn't say something, because that is his job and he would have been required to by law. And if he didn't report obstruction of justice by anyone, including the president, he himself could face charges. These are all questions that I'd like to have answers. But until we have some answers, can we all just stop talking about it? Honestly, can we just stop? Let's just not. We'll pretend it didn't happen. We'll just pretend like, nope, we're not going to have this conversation. Nope, not going to do it.